The Detroit Pistons lose by 16 to the Boston Celtics, but really that score kind of does the Pistons a little justice. They really should have lost this game by about 25 plus. There were so many things that frustrated me in this game. We're going to talk about all those things in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. The Detroit Pistons lose this game to the Boston Celtics 128-112. I'm surprised they didn't lose by more. The bench, they emptied their benches at the end of the game. That kind of made it look a little bit close. Like 16 points is even close, but it made it look closer than it was. The Celtics were up by 24 at a certain point. They really should have won by about 25 plus because this was a horrific game by the Detroit Pistons. And in a game where Killian Hayes kind of had a fantastic night, I wish I could come up here and just talk about how I think this could be the turnaround to a season that I've been waiting for. I can't do that until later because there's so many things that happen within this game that is just so incredibly frustrating. And not only did it make my viewing experience terrible, and it's been making my viewing experience terrible, but I see all the comments from you guys. I see all the tweets you guys send to me. I see everything. And I see it's making your guys' viewing experience worse too. So let's go ahead and just talk about these things, man. So the very first thing that I want to talk about is Cade Cunningham struggles. Cade Cunningham shot 1 of 11 tonight. He had 4 points, by far one of his worst games of his career. Just very sloppy on the floor. The missed shots very early took him out of the game. He just didn't look like he was – after he started missing all these shots at halftime, he basically had no shots made. He was out of it. So you hate seeing that from him, and that can't happen. He can't look, you know, I don't want to say disinterested, but kind of like, I don't know what the better word would be. He let the misses and his struggles take him out the game. He basically just was like taken out. That's the best way I can put it. But look, Cade has to play better for sure. This is unacceptable. You can't shoot 1 of 11, 0 of 6 from deep. But this is going to go back again. This is going to go back to what I've been talking about all season long. And what I talked about would be a fear of mine all offseason. And it's the biggest thing that makes watching the Pistons so hard from a fun perspective. Not because you want wins, but just from having fun. It's the thing that makes it so tough. And it's the fact that the Pistons, it feels like every night you watch the Detroit Pistons, there's at least one player, at least one. Sometimes there's two. But there's at least one player on the floor who the opposing defense is not guarding and is sitting in the paint. And tonight, look, Hamidou Diallo was being guarded by Luke Kornet by the Boston Celtics. For all of you guys who are huge fans of Hamidou Diallo, listen, I'm tired of walking on eggshells. I'm just going to tell you straight how it is. The Pistons can't keep playing them. They can't. Diallo needs to be played in only specific situations where you need like a jolt of energy and you need like some chaos to happen. Because he cannot be in your regular rotation. The Boston Celtics were guarding him with Luke Kornet the entire game. You don't believe me? You want to be a fan of Diallo? Go turn the game on. Go rewatch it. They were guarding him with Kornet, and Kornet was standing in the paint. He wasn't taking more than 2 steps. I don't know how he wasn't being whistled for defensive 3 seconds. But he was just sitting in the paint the entire time. It made driving lanes impossible. It made dump-offs impossible. Spacing was terrible. It's awful. So Diallo was the biggest culprit of this because teams just refused to guard him. He's the biggest culprit of it. But teams somewhat do it too with Isaiah Stewart. And this is why I believe that they need to find a way. Cade, it's so clear. So going back to last year that Cade plays better with the lob threat, that it's utterly shocking to me. And I listen, I know a lot of it. Listen, let me give the coaching staff a little bit of a pass here. I know a lot of it has to do with Marvin Bagley being hurt. I think there's a good chance Marvin Bagley would be starting besides Sadiq Bey or Bojan Bogdanović, whichever one. I'm not going to fight with you guys about that right now. But it's a good chance that he'd probably be starting to give Cade that lob threat. But he's not here. So and with Cade being your franchise player, the majority of Cade's minutes, at least in my opinion, need to be staggered with Jalen Duren when he's available. And he's been available. But running pick and rolls with Stu and Cade, they don't get anywhere. In tonight's game, if you want, just go rewatch it. Cade took 6 threes. 11 of his shot attempts, or 6 of his 11 shot attempts were threes. The Boston Celtics were pushing him out from the rim. They were taking away driving lanes because they didn't respect Stu's jumper and they don't really respect Stu as a roller to the rim. So they were pushing Cade out farther from the rim and he was having to settle for a lot of threes. And when he did get to the rim, it was congested. It was tough looks. There was one play, I believe this one happened in the third quarter, where Cade crosses over to his left. He drives to the rim. Stu has Jason Tatum switched out on him. He's just sitting in the paint. And Cade has to try to go over his defender. And as he's going over his defender, Jason Tatum just swipes from the side from guarding Stu and just blocks him. So does Cade need to play better? 100%. That's unacceptable. 1 of 11 is unacceptable. It's terrible. He has to get better as a shooter, no doubt. Like the fact that Cade has to improve as a shooter or he's never going to improve or reach his ceiling. Now, it's way too early in the season to try to sit here and say, and way too early in his career to try and make the statement that he's not going to. But him not being able to hit outside shots is on him. However, I'm going to continue to hammer this home until they show me difference. And maybe we'll see that difference when Marvin Bagley comes back. But continuing to set Cade up with Isaiah Stewart and playing him in a lineup with Isaiah Stewart and Hamidou Diallo and Killian Hayes all around him is just setting him up to fail. It's just dumping him in a pit of fire and saying, here you go, try to get out. Like, it can't happen. If you're going to play him with Stu, okay, then you have to have some spacing around him. You can't then surround him and Stu, who, by the way, is not a good pick-and-roll player, and is not going to space the floor enough to where a defender respects him. You cannot then also tag on to what Hamidou Diallo. You just can't. Doing that is just a cardinal sin. You're just setting up your franchise player to have no chance in hell of doing anything, especially against a tremendous defense in the Boston Celtics. He's already going to have a hard enough time trying to beat Jason Tatum off the dribble. He can't do it. He's not going to consistently get to the rim against Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, when you also have Hamidou Diallo cutting on every damn drive to the rim and Isaiah Stewart also sitting on the block. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And what you're going to see in result is him to settle for threes because he knows the paint's clogged. So, listen, like I said, Cade has to hit outside shots. He has to develop the three-pointer for him to reach his ceiling. He has to. That is on him. His lousy turnovers, his lousy play defensively, that's on him. He let the missing on offense get to him. It took him out the game. That's horrific. It's one of the worst games he's played in his career. That's terrible. You can't have that happen if you're Cade Cunningham. But also, you can't keep setting him up like this. You can't. And I'm praying when Marvin Bagley and Alec Burks come back, it doesn't happen anymore. But I'm going to keep it a stack with y'all. You know what? Actually, I'll save that for the next segment because I'm going to keep going. I won't find a stoppage here if I don't save this for the next segment. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the rotations and some of like the combination of players that you're seeing on the court and just all of that, why it's just so frustrating to watch. It makes it hard to watch the Pistons. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys a little bit about LinkedIn. That's one of our sponsors. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's very simple and easy to do. You simply add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Again, if you're trying to find a way to help your small business find the best ways to get the best candidates, head over to linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or give us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Before we go on any further with some of the questionable decisions and the players on the floor, combination, all that stuff that really just makes it hard to watch, I want to give a ton of credit to Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey had a fantastic night tonight. He had 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists. He had 0 turnovers in this game. I think he had a fantastic night. It's hard to keep Jaden Ivey from getting to the rim. And when he's deciding to go to the rim, when he decides, listen, I'm going to go to the rim, good luck. Good luck trying to stop him. Now, I think he settles for too many threes the last few games. He took 5 threes tonight. The 2 threes that he made, I actually had no problem with. There was wide open catch and shoot shots. Those ones you can take. But the dribble pull-ups into long, long threes, those have to stop. He can't keep taking those. He needs to put pressure on the rim, put pressure on the defense. Every time he takes one of those long-range dribble pull-up threes, he's bailing the defense out, and the defense is taking a W. That's how they're thinking. So he's so unstoppable getting to the rim. He's so explosive getting to the rim, and he has such great touch and his ability to draw free throws, all that stuff around the rim. He's so fantastic at that stuff. He should not be letting defenses off the hook a single possession. To be honest with you, I would be okay if after a game and I saw Jaden Ivey only had 1 three-pointer attempted or 0 three-pointers attempted, but he had 14 shot attempts and all of them came from him attacking the rim. That's a major W for the Detroit Pistons, because that means he's getting to the rim, he's finishing around the rim, he's drawing free throws, and he's really good at making the first read and kicking out when it's there. He's fantastic at that. The first corner skip pass or first corner kick out pass, he's fantastic at making those passes. Dump off passes, he's good at making those passes. The first read, which is all he really has to make because of how explosive and how easily he gets to the rim, he makes those consistently. So I'm just saying, defenses are when he takes those threes, they're like, okay, we won this possession. If he makes it, so be it, but we won this possession. Every time he gets them on their heels and goes to the basket, they're petrified. They're scared because of how explosive and how legit of a player this guy is. So Jaden Ivey, I thought he had a fantastic game. And I want to say again, last game he had 11 rebounds. This game he had 10 rebounds. I love the fact that Dwayne Casey talked about how they needed guys to help on the boards. And by far, no doubt about it, Jaden Ivey is the one who's taking it the most serious here. He's active on every board. He's jumping over guys. Heck, he might get over the back foul a few times if he keeps doing this, but I don't care. He's hustling hard as ever. He's trying to help his big guy out, and he's trying to get defensive rebounds. Really, he must be realizing that if I get a defensive rebound, I can take this coast to coast before defenses can get set. So I thought he had a fantastic game, and I really love the fact that he's taking, you know, getting active on the glass and helping out his big man, Isaiah Stewart, very seriously. It's helping the Pistons a lot, and I thought he had a fantastic game. And to be honest, the Pistons probably lost this game, or well, they were going to lose this game either way. But the game got out of hand, I should say, when the Pistons kept Jaden Ivey out of the game for too long. I'm surprised that Dwayne Casey kept him out of the game in that second half for as long as he did. He was the best player for the Pistons on the floor by far tonight. And he was out for a much longer stretch than I thought he was going to be. Usually, they take Jaden Ivey out and bring Killian Hayes in the third quarter and stagger Ivey and Cade that way. I thought with how Cade was playing and how lackadaisical he looked defensively because of what was going on offensively, I thought they were going to take Cade out and play Killian with Ivey. But they took Ivey out and held him out of the game for too long, and that's really why I think they – with the way Killian played in the second half, we'll talk about that later. If you had Ivey out there with them, I feel like they maybe could have kept this game at least competitive. But, yeah, I don't know. Either way, though, I do want to say Ivey had a fantastic game. Anyways, I do now want to get back to some of the questionable decisions going on. So you guys will remember if you guys listened to the offseason. I said in the offseason, what I wanted the Pistons to do in the offseason was to decline Frank Jackson and Hamidou Diallo's player options. But when you guys asked me, who, let's say you had to pick one, I said I'm picking Frank Jackson. And why did I tell you guys I'm picking Frank Jackson? Because he's a shooter, and even when he's not hitting, and if he's having a season where he's not hitting shots, he is a theoretical shooter, and defenses will respect him as a theoretical shooter. They're not going to put Luke Kornet on him and just have him sit in the paint to where drives are damn near impossible, dump-offs are damn near impossible, pick-and-rolls are damn near impossible, and you're baiting a bad shooter into taking corner threes, or I don't know, maybe a two-dribble pull-up mid-range shot that hits the top of the backboard. That's not going to happen if you had him. But I'm not sitting here advocating for the fact that they should have brought back Frank Jackson. I didn't think they should have brought him back. But you're starting to see, and I hope all of you guys are clearly seeing this, because I think even Stevie Wonder could see this. This is now back-to-back-to-back games that defenses have hidden their center who can't move around. If you put him in space in the pick-and-roll, he would get obliterated. But because the Pistons have a player on the floor that they do not have to worry about guarding, they are now enabling defenses to play big men who don't have to move around, can protect the rim, and they can just swallow up rebounds and deny driving lanes because the Pistons continue to play Hamidou Diallo. In games where you can put Diallo in for just like a quick burst, you need like a jolt of energy, some chaos go on because your half court's not working, everything's just... it's just not working. You just want to throw him in there and tell him, just go crazy. Try to create some crazy stuff. Okay, he can do that every now and then. But for the majority of the time, having him on the floor with, like I said in the first segment, with Isaiah Stewart, both the guys defenses are not going to respect as shooters. And every time, I want you guys to watch this next game. Not only do they not respect both these guys as shooters, and they're hiding Luke Kornet on Hamidou Diallo, every time K drives to the rim, every time Jane Ivey drives to the rim, I want you to watch what Diallo does. Diallo drives or cuts to the rim, and he doesn't understand. What doesn't make any sense is that his guy's already sitting in the paint. So at the very least, if he's going to have to sit in the corner, if you're going to play him, he's going to have to sit in the corner and catch a catch and shoot three from the corner. If you're just going to have to do it. You have to. If you can't do it and you can't shoot it without hitting the top of the backboard, you can't play him. I don't know what else to say. I can't say it any nicer. Like, it's just straight up. Because if your guy is already sitting in the paint, you have a guy rolling to the rim that's usually Isaiah Stewart, and you have Ivy or K driving to the rim, then also cutting to the rim now means there's six guys in the paint. That's helping nobody. So if you can't trust Diallo to simply catch and shoot some threes from the corner, if you can't trust that, you cannot play him. You can't. Especially, and maybe you could get away with it. You could maybe get away with it if you had a stretch big at the five instead. Like, if you had Kelly Olynyk, that defense are going to respect. Don't want to give him open threes. Then maybe you could pull that defender out, and maybe you could live with the fact you have one guy on the floor who defenses are literally just sitting in the paint on. Then maybe you could get away with it. Or, like the example we use a lot in the offseason, if you watch the Golden State Warriors, if you have an elite pull-up shooter where teams have to come up and trap against, or guys have to come up and hedge against. So now the roller, if you hit at him, now you're working on 3-on-4. Now you can cut to the rim. You can cut to the rim now because now you got numbers advanced, because now the elite pull-up shooter is drawing two players, just like Steph does, like Trae Young does, like Damian Lillard does. When those play, that's what makes those guys so lethal, how they help their teammates, because they're so good at pull-up shooting that they can, you can play non-shooters. You see how the Warriors play Draymond? I'm going on a little bit of a talking spree here. I'm sorry, but you know how the Warriors play Draymond and Kevon Looney together? You know why they can get away with that? It's because they have Steph Curry. So when they run a pick and roll with Draymond, guys are trapping Steph. Steph can hit Draymond. And now you have a numbers advantage. So now Wiggins can cut backdoor. Now Looney can sit in the dunker spot and be ready for a oop. Now you have the numbers advantage to do it. When you can't do it is when you don't have that elite pull-up shooter in Kay Cunningham and Jane Ivey, guys who aren't going to be that much of a threat from three. When you also have a guy rolling to the rim who's not a threat, not only finishing at the rim, but shooting from beyond the arc, at least the defenses right now. And then you also have Diallo cutting to the rim. All of that cannot be happening at once. It just can't be. And I know Jane Ivey shot 6-12 tonight, and usually Ivey is able to Ivy's usually able to work around it somewhat because of how explosive he is. Like, just because of how he's usually beat defenses to their spot, even when they're hiding a center on a guy. Usually he's able, let me not say usually, but sometimes he's able to beat it anyways just because of how quick he is. Sometimes it just doesn't affect him. But I kid you, go watch his six misses. Go watch him. Go watch all the drives to the rim he had. There's multiple times he can't go up at the rim, or he's forced into a turnover or a bad shot or something. It's because of that. It's because of what I just detailed. So, listen, I know the things will change when Marvin Bagley and Alec Burks come back, because Alec Burks is a nice shooter and Bagley's going to put pressure on the rim because he's a lob threat. I know that's what everyone's hoping for. But in the meantime, I'm not joking. I'd rather play Corey Joseph than Diallo, because Corey Joseph can at least space the floor and defenses aren't going to hide Luke Kornet on him or Brook Lopez on him or whoever the hell else the Pistons have played recently. Let's go look at their schedule so I can bring up some other guys that they played. The Thunder, who were the Thunder hiding on them? The Cavaliers had their big men just sitting in the paint, Mobley, Allen, all of them. You can't have it. You can't ask your ball handlers to succeed while having that happen in your half-court offense. It's just not going to work. So I'd rather see Corey Joseph get minutes. Heck, I almost would rather see Kevin Knox get some minutes because he's a theoretical shooter. I highly doubt, even with Kevin Knox not being a consistent shooter throughout his career, I refuse to believe they would hide Luke Kornet on him. And I guarantee you this, Kevin Knox wouldn't be cutting the rim. Kevin Knox would welcome those corner threes and he'd take them. And it's just a matter of if he's going to make them or not. Hopefully he hits them. I'm not joking. I would rather play those two guys if defenses are going to start hiding their center who can't move on Diallo. It literally makes my eyes bleed watching the game. And I'm telling you, that's part of the reason why Kay Cunningham gets so frustrated. They won't ever say it out loud, obviously. But I kid you not, I promise you, I would bet my life that when Kay drives to the rim and he sees six players in the paint, he is trying his hardest not to spike the ball into the ground and get ejected. I promise you. So basically what I'm saying at the end of this is that the Boston Celtics kind of were playing with a handicap, and I cannot wait till Alec Burks gets back. And I cannot wait till Marvin Bagley gets back. That's basically what I'm getting at here. So it is what it is. Finally, though, this next segment, I can talk about my guy Killian Hayes, who had a really damn good night. We're going to talk about it and what was the key to his successful night and how he can try to have this night be the turnaround to a season moving forward. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So Killian Hayes had by far his best game of the year. He shot 7 of 12 from the field, 16 points tonight. He played extremely well in this game tonight, and this is what was the key to his successful night. And he did this against an extremely good defensive team in the Boston Celtics, too. This wasn't just him going crazy against the OKC Thunder. This was a really good defensive team he did this against. And there was multiple plays when he ISO'd Jason Tatum and scored. He ISO'd Marcus Smart twice and scored. He was scoring a lot of his buckets in isolation. It's crazy. He also had a few spot-up attempts. And I told you guys that he needs to get some more. They need to start trying to get him some more clean catch-and-shoot three looks, because that's going to get him – I think he'll be – if he can get some cleaner looks and see those go down, it'll get him to the flow of the game more. But really, the biggest key to Killian Hayes turning around a season, how he needs to be playing every night, I think he started to realize it tonight. He needs to start taking these mid-range pull-ups, because what's really making it hard for him majority of the time when he's playing out there is defenses are backing up before he even starts to drive. Like, they're not giving him the Hamidou Diallo effect. But when he starts to dribble, they're already on their back heels. They're already starting to back up. So when you're not explosive like Jane Ivey, if you have defenses already doing that and you don't have that type of explosiveness, you're putting yourself in a disadvantage two-step. You're giving yourself a two-step disadvantage. Not only are you not that explosive, but now defenses are just waiting for you to drive because they're backing up. They don't believe you as a shooter. And when Killian takes his little between-the-legs cross and he starts getting into his size-up package that he does all the time, the mid-range is wide open. The pull-up jumper is wide open. And you saw him take that. I think 12 of it, out of the 12 shot attempts he took, I have to assume at least 6 or 7 of them were his dribble pull-ups. And they're open every single time. And they look really good when he goes to it as like what he wants to do. When he goes to it after being forced into it, or he has to get shot up, or he doesn't really want to shoot it, it looks really ugly. But when he goes to it and he wants to take that shot, it looks so smooth.
So I think what he can take from this game, and it will open up everything else. He also had a really strong drive on Hauser, I think it was, bodied him, got him to the rim, and he had another strong drive when he bodied Payton Pritchard, I think, and he had an and one. So I like the fact that he's using his body on the drives in tonight's game. So hopefully he looks at that and realizes he should use his body more, draw some fouls. But really, I think he picked up on it tonight because he was doing it a lot more than I've ever seen him do. He needs to go to that mid-range pull-up if defenses are going to play him like that. He's not going to be able to get to the rim and try to get layups if defenses are already retreating. And what happens is once you start to make those dribble pull-ups, once they keep giving you those, and you can just get to the free throw line every time and just rise up over him because you're 6'5 with a 6'8 wingspan, once he realizes that, and it looked like he did tonight, defense are going to start playing up on you a little bit more. And now he can get to the rim going to his left and he can lay the ball up. Now he can start doing that. But until then, he needs to start working in that in-between area, I at least feel like, to try to force them up on him so he can get by to the rim. But yeah, I that's what he was doing tonight. He was taking a ton of those shots and he was feeling it. And I love seeing it, obviously. He had a few pull-up jumpers from beyond the arc. He had one taken away from him because Diallo had the Celtics jersey on and was playing for the Ops. And then he had another one taken away from him from a three. They said his foot was on the line. But outside of that, I thought he played a fantastic game. And I really hope the coaching staff like shows him this film and he looks at this film and realizes, listen, this is how I have to play. I need to be this aggressive. He had 12 shots tonight. He needs to take 9 shots a game, like 7 to 9 shots a game. And it needs to be him aggressive getting to those mid-range pull-ups. Those are open for him. He worked on that shot all offseason. All his videos, he's working on the mid-range pull-up. He needs to go to that shot consistently, and that's going to open up drives for him. I loved his ISO moves. I loved his size-up packages that he's getting into it. He's getting to that free throw line extended, that free throw line shot, and it's wide open. He rises up over guys. Guys aren't going to block him. He's 6'5", 6'8", wingspan. It's not going to happen. So I love the fact that he was going to it, and he was feeling it. He was playing more confident than close to I've ever seen him. He was playing extremely confident. And again, he had a few of these scores ISO'd on Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Smart, and scored on him. He was playing incredibly confident. I hadn't seen Killian go out there and give these type of size-up packages and try to break dudes down like this many times in the game in his whole career. I hope that he can see that he needs to do that. He needs to try to break down his guys like this and continue to take these shots that they give him confidently, and he'll have a good – he'll turn his season around. He can do it. If he plays this way, plays this aggressive, and goes with those shots, he'll turn his season around. Now, if he goes back to pressing and, you know, oh, my God, I need to get a shot up here. Let me just go force something up. If he starts playing like that, again, like he had been throughout the season, he felt the pressure. He's the shots he's taken don't even look like good shots. He's just getting shots up to get shots up. Then he'll go back to struggling. He won't turn the season around. But if he can play fluid like he was tonight, playing the game his way, playing confidently, breaking dudes down, playing confidently with the dribble, pulling up when the guys give it to him, he'll turn the season around. I fully believe that. So, again, I really hope he watches this film tonight and the coaching staff shows him this film and says, see, this is how you need to play every night. You need to do this every single time you're on the floor. And he'll be straight. My last gripe, though, that I'll say, Dwayne Casey is a great family man. He's a great person. Great, great human being. But listen, if a guy's playing awful, you don't play him a lot of minutes. You cut his minutes back. You don't play him for long stretches. That makes sense. That's what you should do. But when that said player is having the best night of his season and you talk about how you need to figure out how to help him turn his season around, he's a big part of what we want to do moving forward. When he then starts to look like he's turning it around, is having the best game of the season, and he's playing more confident than ever, he's figuring out how to play, you don't then just play him 22 minutes. Killian Hayes should have finished this game out. The fact he was taken out for Corey Joseph and Rodney Magruder when he's having the best game of the season and turning it around, you need to reward that confidence. If you're going to take it away when he's playing bad, which you should, when you're playing bad and you want to penalize him for it, you need to then reward him when he's playing well. 22 minutes for what he was doing tonight, that's crazy. I can't believe he only played 22 minutes. Why? When a player's playing well, you need to reward him with minutes. You need to reaffirm his confidence. Let him know that what he's doing is right so he feels even more empowered to keep going. Not take him out. That was my last cry. That was the thing that probably made me the most mad at the end of the game. I can't believe they took him out. There's no way. There's no way you take him out for Rodney Magruder so he can get some minutes when he's having the best game. With how he struggled thus far this season to find his confidence and find his shot, and he's getting to it now. you take him out for Rodney McGrew. There's no way any other, I fully believe any other coach in the NBA lets him play that the rest of that game. They don't take him out for the veteran who doesn't play any minutes. There's no way. No other coach does that. I don't get it, but it is what it is. Overall, bad night from majority of the Pistons. Ivy had a good game. Killian had a good game. All the other guys really had an inefficient night. Jalen Duren actually had a nice game. He had a double-double at 10-10. But overall for the team, it just wasn't a good game. Lousy on defense. Hauser somehow got 20 wide-open threes when he had already hit. How many threes did he hit tonight? He hit 6 threes, and I guarantee you all 12 of his attempts from beyond the arc were wide open. The Pistons are the only team I know that see a guy hit 6 threes and then be like, ah, no, we don't believe it. Take it again. We don't believe you. Like, it was a frustrating game tonight, as you can tell. Very frustrating game tonight. The Pistons fall to 3-9. That's all I've got for you guys today, though, man. Let me know what you guys think about this game and everything you guys saw. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahil. Thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel, Lockdown Pistons, obviously. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I will see you guys later. Stay safe, everybody. Go Pistons, and peace out.